everybody. I'm Liz Nolly.
I'm Carrie Thomas.
And welcome to the Just Us Podcast, a place for Black women navigating corporate spaces. Please watch until the end, like, subscribe, and share on YouTube, Spotify, or all your favorite podcast platforms. And help us keep the show on the air by shopping the store. You can get all this wonderful merchandise. Have you seen
your shirt?
My shirt. Have you seen our new journals?
I did, and I love it.
And this is so cute. Like, for all your mindfulness practices, it's got lined paper. It's got the little fold, the vegan leather exterior, and all of that kind
of
stuff.
If there's one thing I need, it's yet another journal. So I will take that.
It's yours.
Thank you.
And not to mention our Just Us mugs and all of that. But seriously, shop the store. I have a brand new TikTok store on my TikTok page, or you can go to lizthepurposecoach.com/store. Shop the merch. It helps to pay for the beautiful production and keep the show on the air and help us grow the podcast. And as always, hit that like, subscribe, and share button.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Carrie.
I want to say, I was just commenting that we always start the show laughing. I don't know if people catch that when mm-hmm. we're coming on, but it's because we have a hilarious crew, and we always get into these deep, hilarious conversations before we get started. So
yeah, the behind the scenes can be its own show.
The behind the scenes is its own. We are just special behind the scenes episode.
We are. Like, shout out to our awesome crew.
Exactly.
Like, shout out to Amir and Milk and Names and Tamika and I'm gonna say Dorothy.
Yes, please.
The lovely Dorothy, our still photography person.
Amir, make sure you cut that. And
we're going to get her to come sit on the couch and join us on the show one day.
We're going to work up to it.
We're going to work up to it. Yeah.
Okay. But for now, Miss Liz.
You should see her face. Y'all should see her face. She's like, Miss Liz. She's like, try me, Miss Liz. Try me.
Right. She's not coming to work that day.
She's like, I'm tiny, but I'm scrappy. So
right. So you see, that's what goes on behind the scenes. But for now, Miss Liz.
Yes.
Teachable moment?
Of course you can.
Oh.
So for today's teachable moment, we're going to turn over to the book of Family Matters.
Mm.
Today's mm-hmm. text comes from the two chapters of Urkel and Urkel.
Yes.
Okay. So we recently had a letter from mm-hmm. a young lady talking about how she felt like she had to put a mask on and couldn't be herself.
We did, yeah.
At work. Well, that inspired that letter, like, in addition to triggering all senses. And
you were completely
triggered.
Yeah.
I really was. And I didn't have my Martin Luther King Jr. fan from church with me to cool me off.
I hope you were able to recover and regroup and recenter yourself.
I was. I did some woosah
good,
work.
Good.
I relaxed, related, and released.
Okay. Good.
Gathered myself.
And here we are.
But for help, I turn to the text that comes from today's teachable moment, the text from the book of Family Matters,
mm-hmm.
because I started to think about, like, this idea of the mask and how much of it is us putting on a mask and the masks that other people put on us and expect mm-hmm. us to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And no better is there a great example in pop culture than one Stephen Q. Urkel to teach us about the mask. And I know everybody, you know, he was annoying. He was accidentally destructive. Did I do that? He was a nerd. He was, you know, he was all of the things, right? Like, he was one of these, like, you couldn't be too nice to him because then you would never get rid of it. Like, he would drive you crazy. Yeah. And the
overdo
whole,
it.
He was a super genius.
He definitely was.
He liked cheese. You know, he was just, you know, but he was also sweet, and he became one of the most beloved characters on the show. And I attribute that to, I mean, one, the amazing performance of Jaleel White.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. just doing the thing and taking the whole nerd trope to a whole nother level and adding dimensions to him. But I think he's a great character study about the mask and authenticity. And so to understand this, I think we have to go over to Laura Lee Winslow, who was the true villain of the show, in my opinion, because she was giving straight olive oil vibes from day one in terms of, like, she wasn't really feeling Steve unless he was of use to her and, you know, it was mean to him.
But at first glance, would you say that everyone initially did not like
Steve drove everybody crazy.
Okay.
So look at the dad, Reginald Bell Johnson. Okay, like look at Carl Winslow.
Carl Winslow. Mm-hmm.
Steve drove Carl crazy, but Carl had a soft spot in his heart for Steve because Steve was still likable and lovable. He wasn't trying to be a menace.
Right.
He was trying to do the best he could. He just couldn't help it. He was just
Even the brother liked Steve, Eddie.
Eddie liked it. Steve was just himself. Even when he was playing basketball, he was still nerdy Steve, but he was balling, right? So again, you start to see his authenticity, mm-hmm. like, wins people over despite all of the annoying clumsiness and the things that came with him.
Okay.
Except for where our villain Laura Lee Winslow is concerned. She was like,
are you just making up these names, or are those actual?
That was her name on the show.
Laura Lee.
Google it. Laura Lee Winslow was her name on the show.
Okay.
So she was the primary villain. Well, her and whoever snatched Judy the first time she went up the stairs and never came back.
Are we ever going to talk about that?
I don't know. She's on a milk carton somewhere. Like, we're still searching for her. So whoever took her, return her. Her family misses her. We want
her
back.
They would like to know what happened to their child.
We just need closure.
Or maybe they don't.
But I digress. So Laura doesn't give Steve any play,
she
beginning.
She is repulsed by him.
But she doesn't just stop there, because she wasn't the only person. There was only one woman on the whole history of the show that ever gave Steve some play, and that was, you know, but we'll get to her in just a moment.
Yes.
But not only, like, it's bad enough that she doesn't give him any play while he's, like, madly in love with her from minute one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's often mean to him, to the point where you're
not
like,
just dismissive, but
WT,
she's like yeah.
This is the boy next door. This is your brother's friend. Like, he's a good kid. Yeah, he's annoying and everything, but you don't have to be mean to him.
Mm-hmm.
And she frequently uses Steve Urkel when it benefits her to use him, right? That's why I'm saying she's a real villain. You know, I'm not saying she a narcissist, but she's kicking a little narcish vibe, okay? Like, during the show. So, you know, and she knows she could get Steve to do whatever she wants and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, and when the bullies were besmirching her name, it was Steve and Eddie that came to her rescue, right? But she wasn't, but at the same token, she'd be like all mean and nasty to Steve because she wasn't feeling him, right? And has made Steve cry.
Go home, Steve,
right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so Steve, like a lot of people who are bullied and rejected or whatever, you know, he's trying to hold on to his authenticity. But he, for some reason, because of Laura's gaslight game.
Is that what it was?
I don't know if it was her gaslight game. That's probably unfair, but Laura's the villain. But she's the villain of the story. So Steve thinks that his authentic self isn't good enough for the love of his life.
Right.
He believes this. So what does he do? He's a super genius scientist. So he takes the mask that he puts onto a whole nother level.
He does.
And creates Stefan Urkel, who is the antithesis of him in every way, shape, form, or fashion, even though they share a core.
Mm-hmm.
Now, watch this. The way that they do this in the story,
mm-hmm.
in the Book of Urkel,
mm-hmm.
originally, Steve Urkel and Stefan Urkel are the same person. You never see them at the same time.
Right.
But Steve gets so... Steve is such an empathetic person. He winds up giving life to his own mask outside of himself.
But why does he do that?
And it's a separation. Because he realizes there's a coolness inside of Steve Urkel. Like, he does the Urkel dance.
Mm-hmm.
He's balling with Larry Johnson and Grandmama on mm-hmm. the basketball court. You know, like Steve, like he's friends with, you know, like he gets Johnny Gill and Boys to Men. You know, I mean,
right.
you know, he gets, you know, Johnny Gill, New Edition, Boys to Men, whatever, to come on the show. Like Steve Urkel has some cool associated with him, right? So he starts, as he realizes that he has an inner Urkel. It's not just an external mask. Urkel is part of him.
Right.
Like, right. So, and that's the difference, right? And he starts to realize that Stefan Urkel is a mask that other people expect him to wear.
Okay.
That he doesn't have to.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's part of him. He's got his own type of cool.
Right.
Right. And so he separates the two. Right. And so Stefan Urkel becomes his own person separate. And that's where the story gets kind of interesting, a little bit silly on the show. But it's an interesting study because how many of us put on this mask and because we think we're trying to live up to somebody else's expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who he thought Laura wanted to be with.
But what actually happened?
Right. And that's who he thought. He thought, because she had him questioning himself,
yeah.
that he wasn't worthy, that only he was only worthy
if
he was Stefan.
Mm-hmm.
But as he grows into his own authenticity and embraces his own identity, and Myra teaches him that he can be loved as his whole authentic.
Yeah.
Cheese loving self.
She was quirky, like,
and she was gorgeous
and brilliant yeah.
and the whole nine. And as he learns to embrace that about himself, he's like, I don't need Stefan, but Stefan is part of me. So you know what? Let me be, you know, like he embraces that if you love something, let it free, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
and he's an empathetic heart and everything. So he's like, okay, let me give Laura Stefan,
mm-hmm.
because I'm just going to be Steve over here. And that's good
and
enough.
And if that's what she wants,
and if
then
that's what she can have.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. So he separates the mask because he realizes he could be fully loved as a whole human, just as he is, by somebody amazing.
Yeah.
Right. In and of himself. But this other part of him still deserves to exist in the world. And if it makes Laura Lee Winslow happy, so be it. Right.
Yeah.
Hence the split.
So there's a key factor here. There is the split.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, even Stefan Urkel is a little bit a part of him. I don't think that. It's as if I've never watched this show before. I don't think that Steve and Stefan can be wholly separated mm-hmm. as individuals.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a sitcom, right? So they take a little bit of artistic license.
A little bit.
But Stefan was brilliant in his own way, the genius of Steve.
Yeah.
And Steve Urkel was cool in his own way, having the coolness and the suave boldness of
right.
Stefan. Like, they were still interconnected. They just
right.
expressed cool and genius differently.
Differently. Mm-hmm.
Which goes yeah. back to, you know, the beautiful diaspora, the diversity of coolness, the diversity and and the spectrum of genius. Like genius right. shows up in a lot of different ways, and yeah. and the two of them were still connected, still respected each other. Like they had no beef, even though yeah. they were both in love with the same woman at one point, you know, and exactly. everything like that. And then fast forward to the tragic. Written horrible ending of the series where Steve becomes the astronaut and here comes and Stefan's modeling career takes off and he becomes a supermodel world star and everything like that.
I do not remember
this.
Oh,
it was bad. This was
I need to go back and
this
watch
was like
this.
New Aunt Harriet, it was also like, but if you follow,
shout out to New Aunt Harriet was played by Amir's not paying attention. Who played New Aunt Harriet?
Oh, she was the same person from
New Vivian, New Aunt Viv. She made a career out of playing New Aunt.
New Auntie. But
the backup.
The backup auntie. Hey,
we all gotta play our position. But when you get to the end of the show.
Yeah.
Laura Lee Winslow does the olive oil thing. Like, she only wants, like, olive oil used to really annoy me. Let me just digress for a minute. Olive oil used to.
Tell the people who olive oil is, because we
okay. old. And Popeye the Sailor Man, Google it, okay? Popeye was strong to the finish whenever he ate his spinach, right?
He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
And he was like, he was the nice guy. He was the safe guy, the good choice and everything. Bluto or Brutus was the bad boy, mm-hmm. bully, mm-hmm. horrible individual. Yeah. And olive oil will give Popeye no play. And then here comes Bluto. And she's like, plays Popeye to the left to be all up in Bluto's face until Bluto gets a little too handsy mm-hmm. and gets a little too out of pocket. Mm-hmm. Then she's like, Popeye, save me. I'd be like, if I was Popeye,
I would leave my spinach can closed.
I'd be like, I only got peanut butter and jelly for you today, bro. You know,
I got no spinach today.
No spinach for you today. Like, but Popeye would then eat his spinach, get all muscled up, and whoop Bluto, and then all of a sudden, olive oil. Even as a kid, I knew olive oil was wrong for that. Even as a child, I knew olive oil was wrong for that.
Okay, all right.
And that could be why I'm single today, but I digress.
That's another story.
Like, I'm just saying. Like,
we'll come back to that in a future episode.
Like, I'm just saying. Like, but Laura Lee Winslow goes full olive oil, right? Because her little fragile ego can't deal with Stefan's success and him moving to Paris and the thing and the because she's a narc. She's giving that narc energy. Like, it's got to be all about her.
Yeah.
And it wasn't all about her
yeah.
in Stefan's world, because Stefan was coming into his Stefan-ness and yeah. becoming whatever. And instead, she goes back. She convinces herself, I love Steven all along. And
it was always Steve.
It was always Steve. And she breaks up Steve and Myra and Steven becomes an astronaut and they get married and the whole nine and off they go. And I was so mad by that. You wrong for that, Family Matters. But, you know, but I don't write these things. So my only point was that Steven Q. Urkel gets the girl in the end. Because he stays authentic, he yeah. maintains his integrity, he's honest, he loves that narc enough to let her go.
and she comes back to him.
And not only did he let her go, he gave her
what she said she wanted. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? So he gave her but he was always himself. And,
yeah.
and the mask that she put on him to wear as Stefan wound up not being good enough.
Yeah,
and
not because it was a mask. Because it wasn't the natural authenticity. That was just
exactly.
a part of him that she wanted to pull out. And that is literally what he did.
Exactly.
And then she realized,
exactly.
That's not really working for me.
Exactly. So the moral of the story here is authenticity matters. You can be yourself. You can be the quirky, clumsy, genius type, and people will still love all of you, love you just the way you are. Shout out to Billy Joel.
You can still fit in.
Exactly. And you can still fit in.
To where you are.
And you can still be this whole human with a whole set of friends, family, loved ones, and love fully and be love and be loved and be accepted and everything. And if that person, if the Laura Lee Winslow in your life wants you to put on a mask and be something that you're not naturally, then peace out.
Yes.
Help them go find their Urkel, because they will come back and realize that Urkel is what they actually need.
The authentic you. This is I'm going to have my goddaughter listen to this, because I just had a conversation with her dad earlier this week about what he was telling her. She was talking about something that the cool kids were doing, and she used the phrase "the cool kids." And we both collectively were like, cool is really subjective, because what is cool to that group of kids over there, something else might be cool to another group of kids. So I don't even like the phrase cool kids, because every group of kids is cool in its own way.
Exactly.
They all have their own authenticity, and you just have to appreciate what your coolness is. And you might, she's 14. She might not know what her coolness is.
Right.
But our job is to help her realize that and to grow into that coolness. And instead of her having to put on the mask, she can be herself. She can grow into who she is and always feel her authentic self.
100%.
And I think that's it.
And not only should she not put on the mask, she should never let other people put a mask on her.
Exactly.
Like Laura did to Steve. Like that, that's even worse. So there's degrees of this mask, this mask game, right?
Yeah.
And I know the mask is a popular theme that's been explored in our culture as Black folks, in poetry and in books and movies and things like that. And because, wearing the mask was, if we gonna go back to plantation days and things like that, wearing the mask was a survival technique for us.
100%.
And, so I get it. It's in our DNA. It's in our collective cultural psyche. It's part of our heritage.
But we are more aware today, and we have more access and abilities. So it is time for us to release the mask, or the idea of wearing the mask.
Right. Or if we put it on, it should be our choice, and it should be a choice of empowerment.
Right.
Putting on a warrior's mask to go to battle is something that you want to do. What I mean? It should be our decision and make us feel empowered.
Yeah.
Not feeling like we have to do it to fit
not
in.
Not out of fear.
And out of fear, survival. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's a whole different thing. So I just think that, the book of Family Matters, the the chapters Urkel and Urkel are a beautiful reminder of the fact that you can embrace your authenticity.
Absolutely.
And in your corporate journey and in your personal journey, and still win and still be imperfect and still be accepted and still be loved and still find success. And you don't have to put on a mask to do it, and you don't have to give in to somebody else trying to foist a mask upon you in order to do it. And that, my dear, is the teachable moment today.
Thank you. I really appreciate that discussion. I think the discussion that we had previously, which related to this and this, is really we're embarking on deeper ground that I think is just beyond the corporate atmosphere for people. We're really starting to talk about what makes people really tick, and what is really going to help propel people in their careers.
It's we have to understand
who we are.
We have to, because we are who we are wherever we are, even at work.
Exactly.
And we need to be able to bring our whole selves to work.
I fully believe it. Thank you for that, Liz.
You're welcome, Carrie.
So
we got to take a quick break.
Okay.
You've climbed the ladder, checked all the boxes, yet still something's missing. You crave more than just success. You want significance, a career aligned with your purpose. I help corporate women bridge the gap between what they do and who they are. Through transformational coaching, I guide you to gain clarity, align your work with your calling, and lead with confidence and purpose. So whether you're ready for a shift, a breakthrough, or a new beginning, you don't have to navigate it alone. Purpose discovery and activation, leadership and professional development, mentoring and coaching, all designed for high-achieving women ready to do meaningful work. I'm Liz, the Purpose Coach. Let's align your ambition with your assignment. Book your free discovery call today at LizThePurposeCoach.com.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or a brand with an incredible story to tell, but struggling to get the word out? In today's crowded market, getting noticed is tougher than ever. There's been countless incredible businesses with powerful messages that have just gotten lost in the noise. That's where Imagine PR and Marketing comes in. We don't just craft press releases. We become the voice of your brand, meticulously developing and telling your unique story in a way that truly resonates with your audience and gets attention. Ready to transform your brand's visibility? Visit ImaginePRM.com today.
Let's get into Boss It or Toss It. I was thinking, in light of the conversation about the mask, and just to follow on to the previous conversation that we had around this topic, let's talk about characters who are authentically themselves.
Okay, wait. But before we get into that, mm-hmm. can I just toss Laura Lee Winslow?
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
She is not on the list.
I know. I just felt the need to do that. Like, I had that card was a little jumpy on top of my pile. I just had to.
That was your Laura card.
I just had to do that. I'm sorry. I don't have control over these things. Like, I just needed to.
It's just natural to you.
I did. And I'll toss olive oil while I'm at it.
Yes, please do. She is not on my list.
But shout out to Stephen Urkel.
Steve Urkel and him finding his authentic self and embracing his individuality. So I think for Boss It or Toss It, we're going to talk about some of these characters. And if we feel like these characters are authentic, these characters embrace their individuality, or what do we think about them?
Okay,
so let's start with...
I'm sorry, but before we get into that, I just think it's important, like, because I know, you know, we're here talking about career journeys and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but, like, as you mentioned, like, we are whole human beings when we go to work, you know? And a big part of... the thing that we all have to navigate, particularly as Black women navigating corporate spaces, mm-hmm. is this idea of how do I stay myself, stay true to myself,
absolutely,
but still, quote unquote, play that corporate game to win. And it's possible and it's preferable if you do that and you don't have to sacrifice. So whoever's on the list or whatever, like, I think I love having these conversations. I know we have them in a lighthearted way, but it's not to be lighthearted about being yourself.
Yeah. And I think that's why the example of Steve and Stefan, even though it's told in a lighthearted way and we're relating it to, you know, our own pop culture references, it is deeper than just Steve and Stefan. It's a real lesson in believing in who you are and not letting that be deterred, even as you try to climb the corporate ladder, even as you try to achieve success in whatever arena you still can be yourself. You can be an individual. You can be authentic 100%. To yourself. Whatever that looks like for you.
Real quick story on that, and then we can get into Boston or toss it. But, like, I used to think that I had to be, like, prim and proper at work and all of this, and I couldn't, like, I couldn't be passionate or whatever, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Until once I swallowed a lot of that, like, yeah. You know. And then one day in a meeting, I just got really, really frustrated, and I was like, no. And I was still professional, yeah. But I was really for me, I felt so like
it was an exhale.
It was a big exhale. It was a professional exhale, yeah. But I was just like, no, this is what we're gonna do. You're gonna do this. You're gonna do that. And I just put my foot down, yeah. And I used my voice, and I was just like. And because I had never given myself permission to do it. And I was just like, oh, man, everybody's going to be mad at me because they're going to think I'm angry black girl at work, yeah. And everything. And afterwards, everybody was like, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, and exactly. I was like, and I remember talking to.
Y'all heard the lady.
let's go. Like, and it was such a wildly freeing moment because that was a constraint I had put on myself. Yeah. I could have been that way the whole time.
Yeah.
And probably been a lot less stressed out.
Right.
You know, and probably probably a lot more effective too. Mm-hmm. But I was telling myself that I had to mute my voice, that I couldn't stand in my power. I couldn't like that I was putting limitations on myself. That didn't need to be there. And yeah. When I was pushed to a point where I just exploded.
Yeah, you hit that wall it's like my true self has to come out.
It was like everybody was like, okay, great. Yeah, yeah, let's go. And I think that as professionals, we all need to find our way to that moment without it being like an explosive yeah. situation like it was for me.
And that's why this podcast matters, because we've had that experience. And if we can save some young woman in corporate America from feeling that way for 10 years before she finally releases it, if we can let her know you can do that right now,
exactly,
you can be that person,
exactly,
then you know we have, that's our success.
Learn from us, right. Learn from the Book of Family Matters, right. Don't learn from Laura Lee Winslow,
and then carry it on, and then, you know, carry it forward,
exactly. Learn it today to accelerate,
yeah.
So it doesn't take you 20 some odd years to figure it out like
exactly.
It did for me. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So now, boss it or toss
yes,
it.
Ma'am.
I'm going to call out since we just read from the book of Steve and Stefan.
Okay.
The first person I'm going to say, boss it or toss it.
What's the category?
Authentically themselves.
Okay, I like this.
Individuality.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, we didn't talk about this character, but this is a Family Matters character that will be familiar to a lot of people. And it wasn't until I did the research did I know that his name was Waldo Geraldo Faldo.
Boston Waldo all day. As Waldo would say, cool.
I'm Boston Waldo, too.
Boston Waldo.
He was definitely a unique character.
But that's what made Waldo so wonderful. That's how he pulled a chick like Max, because he was himself.
Mm, yes.
Unapologetically. And she loved him for that. And yeah. She knew, like, and Waldo had superpowers. He was like this amazing mega chef, iron chef, you know, and everything like that. Like, he was just this, you know, like, really cool person, easy to write off because, you know, he had this like very
yeah.
interesting way of navigating the world.
Yeah.
But man, he wasn't fussed by it. It bothered
no,
other people.
He was not. He continued to be himself all the way through the series.
Bossing Waldo all day. Great choice. Wow. How do we, that's number 10 on the list?
Now this one is a classic one.
Okay.
And I think that people's attitudes about this person have evolved over time.
Okay.
Original Carlton Banks.
I'm going to boss Carlton.
I'm bossing him.
I'm going to boss Carlton because he leans in on his
that is
on
why.
The Carlton dance, on the Tom Jones. He's just, I mean, he outwilled Will in the hood. Like
he did.
You know, like
he did.
Just by being Carlton.
Exactly.
So not mad at Carlton Banks at
he
all.
He stayed in his authenticity and they actually became best friends.
Because of it.
Because of it.
If he had tried to change, it just wouldn't have, like...
It would not have been realistic.
And the fact that Will and Carlton could go from just being relatives to being friends...
Right.
...shows the beauty of when you get two people who are authentically themselves, and it's like, I see you.
Right.
You see me.
And you see me.
Like, yeah. Boston Carlton Banks.
Okay, well, if you bossing Carlton Banks, okay. Are you bossing LaVita Alizé Jenkins?
I love me some LaVita Alizé Jenkins.
If people don't know, LaVita was the secretary of the Steve Harvey show.
I love me some LaVita.
And she ended up marrying Seti.
I love me some LaVita Alizé Jenkins.
So that's a boss.
Yeah, and you know,
I'm bossing LaVita too.
I usually don't stand for the ratchet, but
she was so lovable ratchet.
From the her first appearance on the show with R. Greer, boss lady, like when you know, like she was just so pure-hearted and so consistently herself.
And also she was in her own way, she had some naiveness, I'm going to say.
Right.
About, you know, working and being in the school and understanding, like, is a different lifestyle. Now, she grows into that person.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she just comes with, like, a
pure
different...
There's a pure-heartedness about her that just made her so wonderfully lovable. LaVita Alizé Jenkins.
And in the vein of LaVita Alizé Jenkins, how are you bossing or tossing Jerome in the house? I said Jerome in the house.
I'm going to run out of cards in a minute.
You are tossing Jerome?
I don't like it.
Explain.
I don't like it. That's it.
I
got nothing else to say. No word for Romy Rome.
I'm going to boss him. But here's why. He is 100% unique. And as off-putting as his personality is, he is fully himself.
True. But, you know, okay. All right.
And that is what we're talking about.
All right.
You don't have to love everybody who is authentically themselves.
Okay.
We said that.
Okay. True confession time.
You dated Jerome?
No. But I have run from Jerome on more than multiple occasions.
Amen.
Up in the club.
We all have.
And so Jerome is triggering for me.
Okay.
So
okay,
that's why
okay,
I got to
okay,
toss
okay.
his ass. I mean,
All right.
I've had to hide from Jerome at the
okay,
club
all right,
too many
so
times in my day.
You're off Jerome, okay. But what about Shanae? I am definitely tossing Shanae. I'm tossing Shanae. Even though she got to go to work on Myra's feet, she is still too authentic.
She's iconic, but yeah, no.
And in terms of being authentically yourself, same as with Jerome, she is authentically herself, and I can appreciate that. But her brashness would not appeal to me.
Like,
I would want to fight her.
She doesn't respect boundaries.
At all.
And
she ain't everybody business.
And she real judgy.
Yes,
like,
she is.
She too judgy and too, like, combative. And, like, every time I wanted to like Shanae, she would do something to remind me of why I didn't.
Why you do not.
Yeah. But shout out to Martin Lawrence. Like, that's an iconic character. But yeah, no, I can't.
Okay, I got another one for you.
Wait. This one's for. This one's for the fingernail on her pointer finger.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
Why you gotta cuss in
here? You know what I mean.
We
see,
know. We all saw.
She know.
We all know.
We know.
Martin.
God.
Here's another of your faves.
Okay.
I already know the answer to this.
Okay.
Madea. Yeah.
We gonna make it rain up in here.
I'm making it rain.
You gonna make me toss all my cards.
I did not think that we were going to get this many tosses. I thought, oh, this going to be an all Bossett list. Say no more. Okay.
I need my Martin Luther King Jr. fan from the funeral home.
Okay.
You're taking me out my spirit.
Janine from Abbott Elementary.
Oh.
I'm totally Bossett.
You know,
I'm a boss in Janine.
Yeah, I'm a boss Janine's nerdy little self.
Janine is such a nerd.
She is so adorable. She is so sweet and she is really. Yeah.
She is all about what she is trying to accomplish. She will not be faltered in any way.
Pure heart.
She is going to have a goal and she's going to work hard to reach it, even if it means she has to learn a lesson along the way.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to toss her.
You struggled
her.
With the...
I'm not going to toss
her. Why would you even struggle with tossing her? Tell me. Say it. The people are going to...
Because she's not
in
Ava.
The comments.
And she's not Barbara.
She's not Ava. She's not Barbara.
But she's
not annoying though.
You know, she's a little beta for me. Like,
okay.
I like an alpha woman. Like, you know what I mean? Like
that's definitely
like,
Ava.
Like Melissa is an alpha woman. Like
100%.
Barbara's an alpha woman.
We love Melissa.
Like Ava's an alpha woman. I don't dislike Janine, but she's not giving me boss chick energy.
This list is not about boss chick.
I know, but it's boss it or toss it.
Okay, so you're not gonna boss.
I ain't gonna throw the whole deck in the air for her. But like of the Abbott Elementary,
I already know where this is going.
Like I would boss other people on. She not Morton, but you know, like I would boss other people on the show before I would boss the other characters
on the show. Like even Ava is authentically herself.
Yeah.
So I would boss Ava.
Yeah.
But she's not as much of an individual. There are other Avas out there.
Oh yeah, but
you know what I mean.
Yeah, but
there are other Barbaras out there.
I just like their own.
Melissa and Ava are kind of like two sides of the same coin, if
you
ask
right.
me.
You're right.
But Janine is solely individual.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Bossing
I'm only tossing her because she's not an alpha female.
I understand.
But I like her.
Well, what about this person? Do you think this person is an alpha female? Sandra Clark from 227.
Would you boss Sandra Clark? Because Sandra was, I ain't saying she a gold digger. Like, you know, like she was giving those vibes before it was cool to give those vibes.
But she ain't messing.
But she had boundaries. She knew how to boss her feminine wiles to get what she wanted and stuff
she
like
did.
That. But at
she
the end
did.
Of the day, she was still a girl's girl. She was still down. Like, even,
right.
like she could give Mary and the rest of them the business, but she wasn't gonna let you comfort her girls.
She
wasn't, and she was trying to, you know, be.
And she didn't care that people might say things about her or give her, you know, rumors about her, because she was who she was and she knew what her truth was.
And she knew her own worth, she knew her own value, and she knew her own intelligence too.
Yeah.
Like you might think she was just the chick in the bodycon dress, but Sandra Clark.
She had her eyes on it all.
Yeah, Boston Sandra.
You gonna boss Sandra Clark?
Yeah.
Okay, I have another one. It's a relatively new show that I think that you might. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Okay.
The Upshaws.
The whole show.
What? We could take it individually.
Okay, now I've watched the whole series.
You have?
I have.
Okay,
I have.
Tell me what you thought.
Okay.
Now, we're not talking about the actors. We're talking about the characters. I'm not doubling down.
I don't like Benny.
No one does.
But even like villains on shows have this kind of likable kind of like you know how Lawrence Fishburne made you like Ike Turner even though you hated Ike Turner in the movie.
You're saying Benny is worse than Ike Turner?
He's not likable. Like at the end of the movie, you know, like Lawrence Fishburne had me feeling something. Like I still didn't like Ike, but I kind of saw him as this tragically flawed person. Like, there was something
I get what you're saying,
empathetic
man.
About him. Benny is just a jet. Well, you know, I don't like him. And okay, I needed to see Tootie graduate from Eastland.
Tootie.
And go on and become a media
and not
magnet.
Get pregnant
and
in college and marry.
And become, like, and live out all of her Oprah Winfrey dreams before they were dreams to be dreamt.
Right.
And to see her.
I'm with you. I'm going to toss the Upshaws too.
Yeah,
all of them. All of them. Benny, Regina. The sister.
Although I did hit the like button on the Netflix algorithm just to support. So, but you know, like
we have to support.
But you know, I'm just saying.
Although I think the show's over. I think it's done. I think it's done.
Tootie deserved better.
Tootie deserved
better.
And
so did Regine.
Yes, 100%.
I'm just saying.
All right. So if you didn't like Benny, how do you feel about Fred G. Sanford? And the G stands for.
If I didn't care, I need my pinky ring. Wait, like, I love you some Fred G. Sanford, period.
Don't know about that.
I love you some Fred G. Sanford, period. Shout out to Fred G. Sanford,
period.
Grady, Bubba, and the whole nine. Like, see, now you could keep Lamont and Rollo. You can have them.
Mm-mm.
But Fred G. Sanford, period. Mm-mm. Fred G. Sanford, period, was always Fred G. Sanford, period. He was a pain in the neck. He was, like, rough around the edge, but he was just always himself.
Now, let me clarify I'm tossing. I'm tossing because of who he is, but we could not exist without that show. So
true.
I'm not saying the show
true.
Doesn't need to
true.
Exist.
No.
We need the
you.
Show.
I feel
but
you.
That character on the, if I were a character on the show, I would be at odds with him constantly.
You'd have been honest.
I might have been. You old fish-eyed
fool. You old heathen.
All right. I got another one.
Okay.
So another
this
show.
A good list. I like this.
Another
list.
Show that we talk about a lot
okay.
that we definitely love is Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay.
And I would say there is no more authentically individual character on that show than Jazz.
Jazz, yeah, I love Jazz. Boston Jazz.
I'm definitely Boston Jazz.
Boston Jazz all day.
I love how he just rolls in being who he is.
All the time.
His goofiness, his not so brightness.
Despite the stalking Hillary vibes, even with all of that. Yeah, there's something likable about Jeff.
With him and Phil, where he know he's gonna get kicked out that front door, but he still goes in for it.
I'm bossing the way he gets tossed on the
right.
show.
Like, that alone is
there.
A boss.
Yeah, for real,
He deserves to be bossed for that because he knows it's coming. And yet,
I'm so glad they got rid of Will's other friend and replaced him with Jet Tariq or whatever the boy's name was. You remember, right, names? Like, I forget what he was terrible, and then like Jazz just kind of came in. That was like one of his boys out in I like Jazz.
And then finally, I'm gonna add this last one. Tell me what you think, because I know how much you love cartoons as well.
Ooh, cartoon reference.
Franklin from the Peanuts.
Boss.
That was for you, Liz.
In a previous episode, you gave me a Boondocks, and now you gave me Franklin.
That's the dance that we do.
Shout out to Franklin for breaking barriers and for sitting on all by himself on the other side of that table at Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
And just shout out for Franklin being Franklin. Franklin was just like, he was so black, but he was also just a kid. Franklin was just Franklin.
I'm just showing up.
I'm
some
here.
Kids in the neighborhood. I'm going to see what they up to. If I'm down with it, I'm down with it. If not, I'm going to just go home. That was Franklin.
He brought pride to a whole generation of little black boys and little black girls staying up late to see the Christmas special.
Franklin was like, I'm just representing.
And he was, for a few lines on a piece of paper, he bothered the whole bunch of racist people in this country. So shout out to Franklin.
Shout out to Franklin
to make
for
people
that
uncomfortable
alone.
For being an activist and
an
boundary breaker and like
at what 7 years old
just being himself. Shout out to Franklin. Shout out to Charles Schultz and the teacher that sent him the letter, the story.
Yes,
like to inspire that. But shout out to Franklin.
I think that's a great way to. Oh,
I got one for you.
You got one for me.
I do have one for you.
Boss it or toss it.
Yeah. Charlie Delphi on Black-ish.
You know I'm going to boss Charlie.
You're going to boss Charlie?
You know I love all things Charlie.
I love Charlie.
Charlie, I think we've talked about Charlie in another thing too, but Charlie is, he is crazy, but he is crazy brilliant. He is able to play the foil, play the goofball, but then come back with something incredibly brilliant that everybody's like, huh?
Layered.
And he's a dean at a college.
Although
as we later find out.
Although he always
and
forgets
he has
that
son.
He has a son. That he always forgets. Like, but that's the beauty of Charlie. He's always so quirky and so, like, offbeat. Like I love the episode where Dre is trying to join this social club for like affluent black folks,
yes.
And they go golfing, mm-hmm. And Charlie's there, he's in his white
and you
beater,
find out
like,
Charlie is already,
and he's like a super genius at golfing, but he's like, and Charlie's just beating
Charlie,
his own drum.
Charlie likes things that you wouldn't expect.
Right.
Him to like,
right.
And when we find out about these things,
you're
like
what?
That is definitely individualism, authenticity. I love it.
At a whole nother
I'm bossing
level.
Him all the way.
Yeah, me too.
Love Charlie.
Shout out to Charlie. Shout out to Franklin from the Peanuts gang.
I miss them both.
Yeah. Good list.
Thank you.
Good
that's
list.
Not boss it or toss it.
Authenticity matters.
And that's our show for today.
And so does liking, subscribing, and following the show on YouTube, Spotify, or any of your favorite platforms.
Yes.
And so does supporting us by buying the merch.
On our store,
On the store at LizThePurposeCoach.com.
And where
store,
else?
And on my personal page on TikTok. See what I did there?
<It's hot. laughs>
Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.